episode 15.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
Well, at least so far, the feedback from episode 14 has been very positive. No firebombs in my P.O. box, at least yet. Still, I'm finding the need to re-explain a number of my comments from that piece about balance in the forward stride. Plus, I'm going to add more important need-to-know ideas about hockey skating. I have a suggestion inspired by a mum down in Rhode Island. I'll give you a worthwhile aim for all young hockey players or their parents. I'll announce how local Bantams might be able to play for me this summer. And now, since some of the leftover candy Jim and Dan gave me a couple of weeks ago is rather hot, I'm going to need plenty of cold diet soda to keep me going tonight. Okay, following up on last week's broadcast, some of my listeners wrote in rather upset with the YouTube posters who bashed my video. As nice as that sounds, I think they may have misinterpreted my comments. To a point, I actually have compassion for those who have been led astray. Or, as I said last week, for people who are following people who are following people who are lost. The ones I truly blame are those who force-feed the wrong doggone information, or the ones who are tossing it at folks who can't help but take it as gospel. Actually, I answered one of my listener emails by noting that it's interesting that I just can't hang up a shingle and start practicing law or medicine, and I can't just overnight decide to be a plumber or a CPA or an electrician. Now let me tell you this one. A few years ago, I prodded a local figure skating coach by suggesting I was going to start working with figure skaters. And man, did she get wound up about that. She thought it was absurd. Actually, so did I. But my point was, how come you guys think you can gather together some drills and instantly become hockey skating instructors? And that was my overall gist last week. That there are tons of underqualified folks hanging out shingles as so-called power skating coaches. And they're quite often the ones who are leading the masses astray. By the way, to accommodate my players' need to pump their arms and shoulders forcefully and smoothly from side to side, I invented something called a skater's rhythm bar. It sold around the world for a time. But I'm guessing that thing about hockey players not swinging their arms in a side-to-side fashion ultimately slowed its sales. So, guess what? I pulled the rhythm bars from the market. And now, only my players get to use them in the motion lab or out on the ice. Now, as for the rest of that need-to-know stuff about hockey skating, my little video only had a little to do with gameplay. I mean, I only suggested that cruising around in an energy-efficient stride would help a player for the times he or she needed to go all out. Does that make sense? What I want to suggest to you now, though, is that that kind of forward skating stride is actually used minimally during a typical hockey shift. In fact, I've linked another entry by Dr. Michael Bracco in my show notes, this taking you to a study describing the sequential patterns that frequently occur in a 30-second shift. You can look up the 16 different actions noted by Dr. Bracco. However, let me tell you that his studies show that hockey players actually spend a good part of a typical shift cruising around in a 2-foot glide. Yeah, you heard that right. They cruise for a time, watching the action away from them, and then they'll suddenly cut a crossover or whatever to get into the fray. Of course, if you had been reading my magazine columns over about the past 20 years, you'd know that the typical hockey shift is actually a series of coasts and bursts. It is definitely not like you hear a lot of youth parents yelling from the stands, expecting Johnny should skate his buns off for a solid minute or more. Again, that's not how the game is really played. Now, let me give you a little bit more of my take on skating from a combination of my many years of experience and from a number of video studies I've undertaken. First, although it's obviously nice if a player can cover the length of the ice pretty quickly, I'm not sure that helps them in hockey play, or at least as much as most others believe. You know, the ice is divided into zones, and our game's rules prevent a player from breaking too far ahead of the puck. In fact, most decisive hockey plays seem to take place in little, isolated skirmishes where quickness tends to be the most important skating skill. And I mean quickness in all four directions. Turn on a game or throw a game tape into your VCR to see for yourself. Then there's something I tease my kids often about, in that the difference between a hockey player and a figure skater is the doggone puck. As an example, it never ceases to amaze me that some kids can beat everyone else over the length of the ice without the puck. Put a puck on this stick, though, and they quickly drop down into the middle of the pack. Furthermore, I'll suggest that straight-ahead speed is only useful to a point. Consider that, sooner or later, an attacker is going to be confronted by a defender. And, unlike in football, the puck carrier can't just run over the defensive player. Nah, it's at that point that he or she usually has to use some lateral movements to get past the defender. Oh, by the way, with all the discussion about body lean last week, understand that it's absolutely impossible to lean forward while executing a lateral movement of any kind. As a matter of fact, I long ago dubbed certain guys longitudinal skaters. I mean, they have difficulty coming up out of a forward lean, and thusly, almost can't do anything but skate straight ahead. Finally, I'm going to further suggest that the highest levels of our game are filled with guys who are doing a lot of things wrongly. Oh, they're great players. It's just that each of them has some flaws in his game. The final product, though, combining their strengths with their shortcomings, still puts them far above the rest of us mortals. Hey, for fun, I'm going to coach a summertime AAA Bantam team out of AZF Rink in Brockton, Mass. The tryouts are on Good Friday, March 21st at 4 p.m. Online registration can be done through the Future Stars website linked in my show notes. And if you happen to miss the tryouts, maybe you can touch base with me to see if there might still be openings. Donna, from Rhode Island, has written me a number of times for help with her young defenseman. And most recently, she asked if I could suggest some sort of theme her son could carry in his head while playing in five-on-five situations. Now, here is one smart hockey mom, and that she understands that an athlete's carrying a certain kind of theme or principle in his or her head can really help give them purpose during a game. So here goes. I know that other coaches teach the same thing here, but their terminology might be a little different. Anyway, what I like to suggest to my players is that they be aware of a plus-minus factor as they position themselves in each confrontation. I'm not talking about the plus-minus stat here, but let me explain. Supposing Donna's son is battling with an opponent in his defensive slot area. It should make sense that he'd have the advantage if he positioned himself closer to his net, thusly keeping the attacker slightly away. The same thing would hold true if her son had to deal with a puck carrier in his defensive corner. In other words, making sure he never let that guy walk past him to get closer to the net than he is. And this principle works all over the ice, even for our team's forwards battling deep in the offensive zone. Where I most often see foul-ups is down at the far end or along the boards near center ice. My guy and another guy are tussling, but my guy somehow gets rolled toward the negative side, or he allows his man to roll slightly closer to our net. What I sometimes like to do is draw an imaginary line. I have my guys picture an imaginary line while we're out in the practice ice. In other words, I'll set up a mock play somewhere. I'll roll our guy towards the negative side, and then I'll show everyone how the other team has something akin to a power play from a line drawn between the two battlers. So again, I just refer to the positive side as the right positioning, closer to our net, and the negative side being one that gives our opponents a momentary man advantage. Just as an FYI here, that free online seminar is nearing. It's on April 1st. I've also decided that I'm going to keep the program running for 24 hours after its start time, just to accommodate folks from all the different time zones. All one needs to do is go to that site, give me a first name and email address, and I'll provide free admittance to the webcast. Finally, a little bit of musing here. The other day, another hockey dad and I were discussing our long-term hopes for our own kids. I referenced a local senior league where I see tons of former players, be they old pros, guys who grew up in my hockey schools, or even some of my old high school or college players. And I told that dad that I hope my young guy eventually loves the game enough to just go play for fun. I mean, it isn't going to matter where he plays in between. He's already headed to college, and I suspect he'll play a little pro if he remains healthy and wants to. But no matter where the middle trip takes him, I do really hope he ends up with all the other older guys who seem to still really love playing the game. To me, that's what it's all about. Well, that's it for tonight. Oh, except to tell everyone to check out our Hockey Moms blog. The number of interesting discussions and some great recipes are mounting up quickly over there. So give it a look-see. And please, do tell just one hockey friend about my show.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.